Today is Sanctity of Life Sunday. So today, all across America, at least in churches that are willing to speak about this, they are talking about the sanctity of life and the preciousness of life. Normally, the focus is on the ladies, but you know, I don't really even want to focus so much on that as much as I want to acknowledge the fact that some of us have little ones waiting for us. You know, our daughter lost twins just about a year ago, right about now. And so we have a pair of twins waiting for their Nana and their grandpa someday. Some of you have had miscarriages. You understand the pain. Some of you have made that, mistake of, you know, aborting a child at some point. Some of us, you know, as men have been there as a part of that decision. And so today, I found it interesting as I was talking to my son and what they went through to rescue this little puppy. And yet, you know, across our nation, you know, the sanctity of human life is far less sometimes than the sanctity of the life of an animal. And I'm not, please don't misunderstand, I know we have animal lovers here, and I'm not saying that animals are not valuable. I'm just saying that compared to the story or to the value of a human life. So it's very interesting. So I know some of us have lost children even to death. And so, you know, I want you guys to know that because we have a Heavenly Father, as I said earlier, we have a Heavenly Father who loves us very much. He's gracious. He is forgiving for those that made the decision. But He takes those little ones into His arms. King David knew that very well. You know, in the child that was conceived, you know, by him and Bathsheba, God had given him the part of the consequences, the child that Bathsheba carries will not live. And so David, interestingly enough, it was one of those difficult times for him. He went in and he began to pray and he began to fast and he was on his knees. And pretty soon they came and he was just thinking that maybe by some chance God would spare this child. And so they came in, and God does spare the children, by the way. Don't misunderstand. They go immediately into the kingdom of heaven. And so David, all of a sudden, he could hear the people talking, and he perceived and he knew that the child had died. So he gets up, and he washes himself, and he, you know, takes a bath, and he comes out of the men and said, "We don't understand, David. I don't understand what just happened. Usually people grieve after the death. You were grieving before." And he said, "Well, I was praying and interceding that maybe perchance God would spare the child's life. But since he hasn't, listen," he said, "he cannot come to me, but I will go to him." David understood a principle that the children, for in conception, even through miscarriage, they go immediately, their souls are there. They go immediately into the kingdom of heaven. So if some of you have had, you know, you have little ones waiting for you, and this is so what is so exciting. And so this is kind of what I understand, this whole concept about the sanctity of life. And just this story of little Louis just brought it right to the forefront of my mind. And so do you understand that even the life of Jesus, that he knew and he understood the value of life? And I want to show you something. So turn with me to John chapter 11. Turn with me to John 11. I want to show you that Jesus knew a secret. Now, you understand that the life of Jesus Christ, he was the King of Kings, he was the Lord of Lords, and he chose to surrender his life for you and for me. He gave up his life. He made himself of no reputation. You girls are going to get into that in the book of Philippians. No reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So Jesus gave up his life for you, for me, to show us the preciousness of human life. And even for those of you guys that are reading through the Old Testament, you came to that section, you know, where Abraham was asked to go and offer Isaac. Notice, he asked him to do it, but he knew all along he would stop him. He wanted to find out, do I have you? Do I have your heart? And the only way that I'm going to know that is if you're willing even to put me before your own child. And so he didn't require it of him. He asked him, but he never required it of him. But God went all the way and gave his own son for me and for you. to show us that our lives are so precious to him. And he paid the ultimate price. And so in this section of John 11, I believe that Jesus reveals an amazing secret here. Jesus has a good friend. His name is Lazarus. You guys all know the story. You've heard the story many times, I'm sure. You learned it in Sunday school. Lazarus is the brother of two other friends of Jesus's, Mary and Martha. And they live in this little town of Bethany, which is just as you're coming in, even for those of you that go to Israel with us or you've been there with us, as you're coming in to the Mount of Olives, just before you get to the Mount of Olives, we cross through what was then Bethany. So it's on the eastern side of Jerusalem. And so Jesus hears, there's a messenger that is sent out, that Lazarus is sick, very sick, in fact. So the two girls send a messenger to Jesus, who he's down by the Dead Sea. He's down, I don't know how many miles away that is, probably at least 60, 70 miles maybe away. And they wanted to see him. They wanted to let him know that the situation, that Lazarus, his friend, is sick, near death, and they need him. This is an emergency. Jesus, you need to drop what you're doing and come here now because Lazarus, your friend, is sick. So in other words, they were saying, we want you to come and heal him. So you're in chapter 11. Look at verse 1. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, in other words, it's an emergency, 911, get here quick. Jesus then says to his disciples, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it, through this situation. So Jesus recognizes, here we go. This is going to be one of those opportunities. I'm going to use this as a life lesson for you, my disciples, for Martha and Mary, for all the rest of my friends that live up in the town of Bethany. I'm going to use this as a lesson to reveal a very, very important secret, a secret that we need to know about, especially on Sanctity of Life Sunday. Because then Jesus does something radical. Look, now, verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. So, when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. He didn't drop what he was doing and say, let's get out of here, guys. Let's run because Lazarus, we better hurry. Double time. Hop on the donkeys. Grab a cab. Let's catch one of the tourist buses heading up to Jerusalem. You know, he doesn't do that. Instead, he waits. He says, wow, this is a perfect opportunity. Lazarus is sick. So he burns two more days. He doesn't do what we would expect him to do in an emergency situation. Go, you better run. The girls are going to find out that you burned two more days. What are you doing down here? You needed to run. So honestly, what was Jesus doing there? Well, he waited two more days purposely for Lazarus to die. It took almost probably a couple of days to walk up there from down at the Dead Sea. So he waits. So we have literally, maybe they could do it in a day, I bet you. So they send the messenger, so that takes a day. So they get to Jesus. He waits 2 days before he makes the decision to walk back up to Bethany, another day's journey. So we're talking a four-day window of time here. So what was Jesus doing? Why didn't he run quickly? He literally, guys, he was waiting for Lazarus to go from sickness to death. He was waiting for him to die. But remember, he's going to use this as a lesson for his disciples, for Mary and Martha and all the rest of them. So he tells his boys, look what it says, skip down to verse 11, and it says, these things he said. After that, he said to them, okay, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. So after these 2 days, he's teaching the guys a lesson. All of a sudden, he says, hey guys, Lazarus is asleep, and it's time for us to head back up there. Now, I wonder what the disciples thought when they said, Lazarus is sick. And I wonder what they were thinking, like, shouldn't we be heading out of here? And Jesus purposely blows off a couple of days, so they were probably thinking, well, I guess it's not that big of a deal. So then finally he says, he's asleep. So then this comical conversation takes place. Look what happens after verse 11. Then the disciples said, well, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well. He's going to wake up. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking a rest in sleep. Well, he's just taking a nap. So finally, Jesus has to say, because they're sitting there saying, well, if he's sleeping, Lord, what's the big deal? Why do we need to leave here? The Dead Sea's nice. We're all getting a good tan going here. So finally, Jesus looks at his disciples, and he said to them plainly in verse 14, Lazarus is dead. So he finally breaks the news to them that Lazarus is dead. He's not sleeping. But then he makes it plain that he's up to something. Look what he continues to say. And I am glad for your sake that I was not there. In other words, that's why I wasted 2 days, guys. Why? That you may believe. Do you see that? That then tells us, if Jesus is telling, if that's the narrative that he speaks to his disciples, that means they didn't believe yet that he was truly the Messiah. That there was still doubt, there was still questions going on in their little brains thinking, well, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. He has done some amazing miracles. He's done some crazy stuff that we've seen. But I don't know. So at this point, you would think, after all that they've seen, they would be believing. But Jesus said, no, I'm glad I wasn't there because it's important for me, you guys, that you believe. Believe what? That he's the Messiah. So he says, nevertheless, let us go to him. And so Thomas, because you know it's getting real hot in the area of Jerusalem, they are very aware that the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the Romans, they want Jesus dead. And the Jews are stirring up trouble with the Romans. And so they're saying, we know that, you know, you're going to be in trouble if you ever go back to Jerusalem. Now Jesus is saying, we're going up near Jerusalem. So Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, well, let us go that we also may die with him. Talk about, you know, Eeyore. Well, let's go. He's going to get killed. We might as well all get killed together, he says with great sarcasm. And so as we see this, Jesus is telling them, guys, Lazarus is asleep. Oh, well, if he's asleep, they'll wake him up. He's just taking a nap. I mean, he'll be all right. No. Okay, all right. He's all right. Okay. He's dead. Okay? He's dead. But I'm glad that he is because I'm up to something, guys. I want to show you something that will help you believe. And so Jesus then, look at verse 17. Let's skip over there. Jesus came and he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. So honestly, the moment they sent the messenger, he probably died that day. Jesus knows this. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning her brother. Now, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, so obviously messengers, they have people out on the fields looking, and probably somebody said, hey, Jesus is coming. So they ran back and told the girls. So she went and she met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. So Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. So a very radical statement. First of all, Lord, where were you? I sent for you. What took you so long? If you had only been here. So Mary had the faith to believe that while he was sick, you could have done something, Jesus. I've seen you heal the sick people. I've seen you heal other sick people. If you would have been here, I know that is within your parameters. That is within your power. That is within your scope of ability. You could have done something there. But then she throws something out. But nevertheless, I mean, I don't know what can be done, but even now I know that whatever you ask of God, he'll give it to you. Did she believe that Jesus could raise him from the dead? I don't know. But we learned something a little bit about Martha. And remember, she's the little serving girl. She's the first one to run out to meet with Jesus. Remember, Mary was the one that was always at the feet of Jesus. So, in essence, at this particular point when she says, if you would have been here, in essence, she was saying, Jesus, don't you care about my brother's life? Didn't you care? Where were you? Jesus then looks her boldly in the eyes, and look what he says in verse 23. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Now, this indicates to me that I don't think Mary really believed that he could raise him from the dead. I don't know what she was thinking in verse 22. Martha then said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So she was saying, I believe in the resurrection of the dead sometime in the future. So I don't believe that she was thinking Jesus could raise her from the dead. But I don't know what her little statement was. But nonetheless, it was pretty cool. So she kind of forgets who she's talking to. Jesus is the Son of God. He's the miracle worker. He loved Lazarus, and he knows what he's about ready to do. Because you see, Jesus intends on raising Lazarus from the dead. But before he does that, he wants to reveal a secret that we all need to remember on Sanctity of Life Sunday. We need to remember this particular secret. What is that secret? Look what he says as he continues on. Jesus said to her, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, and that word believe literally means to surrender your claim to your rights, to yourself, to yield, not just to acknowledge that Jesus is this historical figure that lived some 2,000 years ago, but to where you come to that place where you say, I abandon my life to him, and I want to live for him. That's what the word believe means. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And he looks her in the eye and he says, do you believe this, Martha? Do you believe this? And this is an amazing statement. That's the secret. It's almost, did you feel that earthquake this morning? You didn't feel it? What time was it, Maury? Like about 5? What, 5? 5, yeah, 5:20? Pretty good little rocker. We were upstairs, felt it a little more, you know, it was like boom! And both Maury and I go, earthquake! I think that's what this moment must have produced. Boom! Earthquake! Because Jesus made a statement that I think that, I don't know if Martha got it, she felt the rock. But what was that? I think heaven knew an earthquake just got unleashed. It came from heaven and it landed right there. Jesus was basically what he just said right there. Martha, this is not all there is. There is another place, another dimension. There is a place called eternal life. This is not it. Life is eternal. Life, that mysterious substance that we call life, is eternal. This life in these bodies on this planet is temporary. I did the memorial service for Doug Houston, and we had a casket sitting in front of me out at Miramar. And it's living proof that this life is temporary. Doug's body ceased to exist. Lazarus's body was in the tomb, but his life went on. His life moved forward. This is not it. This is not the end. Life goes on in a different realm, in the realm of the spiritual. For those who have put their faith and their hope in Jesus Christ, there is an eternal location where our life is headed. And this is what gets exciting when you get to do the memorial service for a believer, as we did for Doug Houston. Those who reject Jesus, many people like to think, well, they just cease to exist. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what Jesus just said. Life is eternal. For those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, we're going to live for all of eternity with our Heavenly Father in the kingdom of heaven. But what about those who have rejected Jesus? Well, the Bible tells us that there's another eternal location called the lake of fire, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, eternal darkness and eternal emptiness. Jesus spoke of that place on many occasions. So life is eternal, two destinations. But the point that we need to note is it goes on beyond the grave. So do you understand what he was saying? This is why life is so precious? Because Jesus considers it precious. Why? Because it's eternal. It doesn't stop here. Many of us, as I said earlier, have babies waiting for us. Why? Because we are made, remember in Genesis 1 where we saw, where he said, let us make man in our image. The Elohim, the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, one, and yet three in essence. He said, we're going to make man like us. How did he make us like him? Well, we are triune beings also. We are body, where we can reveal ourselves to this world, as is the Son, who revealed himself in the physical world. We are spirit. Well, we are soul first, I guess I should say. That is the mind, the will, the emotions, that which gives us our personality, the capacity of choice, those kind of things. That's eternal, the soul that who it animates these bodies. But then we have the spirit. We have the spirit that lies dormant. We were born defective. When Adam took from the fruit of the tree, that's what died in Adam at that given moment. Boom, it died. The capacity to have a relationship with God, the capacity for the things of the Spirit. But the day, and like last night when 200 guys surrendered their lives to Jesus, the day that it happened to you, the Spirit came to life again. You were literally born again. That's what Jesus meant in John 3. That Spirit came to life. The ability, once again, to have a relationship with God, to understand the things of God. Suddenly now you can read your Bible and you can know what it means. Like that one young man, suddenly the ability to have the loneliness removed from your life because Jesus fit perfectly into his heart. And it intertwines with our soul. See, when we were just body and soul, our body said, feed me, you know, entertain me, please me. And our soul said, okay. Or the soul said it, and the body said, okay, tell me what to do, and I'll do it. Smoke this, drink this, go here, party there. Have this relationship. Okay, I'll do it. And we had really no choice, but the day that our spirit came to life, suddenly now the capacity of God, the beginning of changes began to take place because the Spirit is now saying, please God, don't please yourself, please Him. So suddenly those things that we once did that we thought were so much fun, where we were pleasing only ourselves, suddenly now we're saying, but I really don't want to do that anymore. We were talking about this, Joshie and I, and many of us were talking about this. Have you guys pulled out some of the old movies from the 80s that you thought was so cool? And you start watching, you go, whoa, 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 I don't remember that. What's the difference? You. The Spirit of God is worked in you to where you didn't even notice that stuff before. Now you become aware of that. Why? Because the Spirit of God, you're born again. It's an amazing thing. It's an awesome picture. But that's why Jesus was willing to pay the ultimate price for you and for me. You guys, can I show you something? You know, we go down to verse 33. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, he saw Mary weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and he was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. You see verse 35, the shortest verse in the entire Bible. John 11:35, what does it say? And then the Jews said, oh, see how he loved him. Then they said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind could have kept this man from dying? Listen, they didn't even get it. I used to think, you know, honestly, I used to think this, probably even taught it. The reason Jesus wept, he loved Lazarus. He was sad to see the consequences of sin. Death is the consequence of sin. So no wonder Jesus was weeping because he sees this, a friend of his is dead, and now he knows that this is the reproduction or repercussions of sin. You know why I think he was crying? He was going, Lazarus, you're not going to be happy about this. It breaks my heart to have to bring you back to this place. You're not going to be happy, but I need to show these people that I have the power even over death. Lazarus, come forth. I bet you Lazarus was saying, no, no. Because I can tell you right now, if somebody were to be able to talk to Doug Houston right now, and they would say, Doug, we want you to come back, he'd say, ain't no way I'm coming back to that place. Honestly, I wonder if Jesus was weeping because he knew where Lazarus was. He knew what he was enjoying. He knew what it was like in the kingdom of heaven. He was going to call him back to this stench place called earth. You know what I mean? So we'll find out when we get there. You can ask Lazarus yourself one of these days. But this is why I believe Jesus was willing to pay the ultimate price for you and for me. This is why. You know why? Because he loves us. Why does he love us so much? Because he says you're eternal. Your beings are eternal. Life is eternal. Life is valuable. It's precious. Whether it's in the womb, whether it's in the cradle, whether it's the deformed, the elderly, whatever it is, life is precious. Why? Because it's eternal. It goes on beyond the grave. It's eternal. Jesus wants to spend eternity with you. He wants to spend eternity with us. Listen to what he prayed on that final night of his life. And if I can have our communion team gather up, and maybe if I can have the worship team come on back up. Jesus prayed this in John 17. You guys can close your Bibles for a moment, okay? We're going to come back to it. Let me read this to you out of John 17. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given to me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. So that tells us there's life beyond this planet. There's life in a different realm. Well, Pastor, that's just strange speaking right there. Are you talking extraterrestrial? I'm not talking ET stuff. I'm talking about life in the realm of the spirit. There is a spiritual world that exists all around it. You've felt it at times. You've walked into a room and go, whoa, this place feels creepy. I don't feel comfortable here. We need to get out of here. You've also walked into some place, you go, I can feel the love of God here. That's spiritual sensitivity in an unseen world. You guys have experienced it. You know how Jesus closed off his prayers? In John 17, 26, he said, I have declared to them your name. I will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. So do you understand why life is so precious? Do you understand why we need to fight for it? That's why I gave each one of you a little card for the Crisis Pregnancy Center. Well, somebody gave it to you. I want you to hang on to that. It's interesting. Dan Foley down in Santee asked me, he goes, Rob, can you give me the address for the pregnancy center up in Ramona? We've got a young girl. I need to send her up there. So I want you to have that in your hand so that if you encounter someone who is in the midst of a crisis pregnancy, sometimes it might even be your own children. It was our son at one point. So I want you to have that to where you can say, listen, don't call anyone until you call these guys. And you have that card in your purse, have it in your wallet, have it accessible to where someday God's going to give you a divine appointment. You can send them to the pregnancy center that we support. Why? Because life is precious. From conception, there's a soul. There's a spirit that is there. It's an amazing picture. That soul goes on for eternity. That's why we fight for it. That's why we believe in it. And that's why you and I have some waiting for us when we get there. What a joyous reunion that's going to be for us. And so this is why Jesus gave his life for you and for me. So we're going to pass this out, but pray with me, would you? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the message that you gave to Martha. Life is precious. It's eternal. It's going to go on for eternity. Martha, do you believe that? Rob, do you believe that? Calvary Chapel Ramona, do you believe that? Lord, some of us in this room have lost children from foolish decisions that we made in the foolishness of our youth and the selfishness of our old life. Lord, I thank you that you forgive. Some of us have lost children to miscarriage. I thank you, God, that you are merciful, that that life is eternal. We'll see them again. Some of us have actually lost children that have been here with us. We've had to say goodbye too soon. And I thank you, God, that life is eternal. And I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone in this room that is not yet surrendered their life to you, that today would be the day In fact, right where you're sitting, you can simply say, I want to experience eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. I don't want to go to the lake of fire. Jesus, save me. Rescue me. Just as Justin and Kat rescued that little puppy, rescue me. Thank you, Lord, for the message that you've left us, that life is precious. May we not take that for granted. May you bless the pregnancy center as they continue to fight for the lives in the womb. Thank you, Lord.